Good day. Good morning. Everybody doing good? I feel convinced. It's always an emotional, I can become an emotional wreck when you start reflecting on all the things. I mean, people that's been in your lives forever and they come around and you see them and you get to hug them, you get to love on them. What a beautiful morning it has been. Well, today I want to continue to share with you about the Holy Spirit. And last week I shared with you the difference between grieving the Holy Spirit versus blasphemy of the Holy Spirit. And I want to continue this morning on the topic of grieving the Holy Spirit, or should I say not grieving the Holy Spirit, as we are called to live by the Spirit, to walk in the Spirit. And you see, when we live by the Spirit or we walk by the Spirit, there is a really good chance I will not be grieving the Holy Spirit. Now, once we became Christians, we've talked about this, but just a little reminder. Once we became Christians, we were sealed with the Holy Spirit for salvation. Ephesians 1, 13 and 14 says this, "And you also were included in Christ when you heard the word of truth, the gospel of your salvation. Having believed, you were marked in Him with a seal, the promised Holy Spirit, who is a deposit guaranteeing our inheritance until the redemption of those who are God's possession to the praise of His glory." So, at the point of salvation, when you believed, the Holy Spirit was like a down payment, is what the Bible says. The Holy Spirit was a deposit. He was a validating signature on the contract of your life. And then the Holy Spirit moves in and He comes to live in you. That's what the Bible teaches us. 1 Corinthians 6, 19 through 20. "Do you not know that your body is a temple of the Holy Spirit who is in you, whom you have received from God? You are not your own. You were bought at a price. Therefore, honor God with your body." Look, when you became a Christian, the Holy Spirit comes to live in you. Therefore, if the Holy Spirit comes to live in you, I shared that little example last week, you know, about whenever you decided to get married and all that, and you come in and live. Well, the Holy Spirit comes in to live in you, and you are no longer your own. We try to hold on to our lives, and we try to do the things that we want to do, but the Holy Spirit's living in us, and it's just a confrontation, right? I mean, our bodies are no longer ours. That's what God's Word says. When you are saved, your body is no longer yours to really do what you want to do with it. I mean, you were bought at a price. That price was a great price. That price was Jesus' blood on Calvary, right? See, Christ's death freed you from sin, amen? But it also obligates you to His service. You see, if you live in a building owned by someone else, you try your very best to not violate the building's rules, right? I mean, it's like, oh man, if I don't follow the landlord's rules, he might come and kick me out, right? So we do our very best to follow the rules. The same is true with our bodies. Because your body belongs to God, you must not violate His standards for living either. Which brings me to our sermon topic for today.
God has his standard for living, but he knew that even when you believed, that wouldn't be enough for you to change on your own. You see, that is why he sent the Holy Spirit to live in you. The Holy Spirit actively transforms a believer's life from the outside, from the inside out, right? If you are a born-again believer in Jesus Christ, you should be able to recognize his divine work by observing an increasing desire for spiritual truth. There should be an ongoing desire for the new life that he has given you, that Jesus has offered you, right? There should be a desire of producing the producing of a godly character, the use of spiritual gifts for service, and there should be a deep inner conviction regarding sin and righteousness. You see, we don't want to grieve the Holy Spirit living in us, right? And because we don't want to grieve the Holy Spirit living in us, we should desire to live by the Spirit. We should desire to walk in the Spirit. But church, I'm here to tell you, as a flawed man standing before you, the only way we can accomplish living by the Spirit or walking in the Spirit is to allow the Holy Spirit to transform us, to transform our lives. So let's dig into our main scripture, one of our main scriptures this morning. Galatians chapter 5, 16 through 26 says this: "So I say, live by the Spirit, and you will not gratify the desires of the sinful nature. For the sinful nature desires what is contrary to the Spirit, and the Spirit what is contrary to the sinful nature. They are in conflict with each other, so that you do not do what you want. But if you are led by the Spirit, you are not under the law. The acts of sinful nature are obvious: sexual immorality, impurity and debauchery, idolatry and witchcraft, hatred, discord, jealousy, fits of rage, selfish ambition, dissensions, factions, and envy. Envy, drunkenness, orgies, and the like. I warn you, as I did before, that those who live like this will not inherit the kingdom of God. But the fruit of the Spirit is love, joy, peace, patience, kindness, goodness, faithfulness, gentleness, and self-control. Against such things there is no law. Those who belong to Christ Jesus have crucified the sinful nature with its passions and desires. Since we live by the Spirit, let us keep in step with the Spirit. Let us not become conceited, provoking, and envying each other." Now, I want to unpackage this for us this morning. The first thing that I want to share with you is this. If you're taking notes, write this down. We are called to live by the Spirit. Okay? We are called to live by the Spirit. Galatians 5:16, I'll share that with you again. "So I say, live by the Spirit, and you will not gratify the desires of the sinful nature." Now God's word helps us to identify two very much opposing forces in our lives. Okay? These forces are in your life. They're going to be in your life until the day you go to heaven, I can promise you. And so you know and understand, if you are a Christian, anybody team Jesus this morning? All right, I like it. More hands are going up. Right. Now, there's something you need to understand if you're on Team Jesus. You need to hear this, and I need you to understand this morning. Unlike the believer, or the unbeliever, I should say, unlike the unbeliever who is completely living by the flesh or sinful nature, you have two opposing forces in you that is creating an ongoing internal battle. Okay? So, living by the Spirit means letting the Holy Spirit guide you, guide your thoughts, guide your action, guide your desires, right? The result of allowing the Holy Spirit to guide you and direct you is evident, right? It should be evident. It's evident in your love, in your joy, in your peace. You see, now, in contrast with that, gratifying the desires of the sinful nature means indulging in the flesh, right? Indulging in selfish, fleshly impulses such as anger, jealousy, and impurity. Now, the difference between these two ways of living is primarily driven by their source. It's driven by their focus and the ultimate outcome. So, in order to live by the Spirit, you will have to rely on the indwelling power of the Holy Spirit. Okay? We've already went over this over the last several weeks, that the Holy Spirit is living in you. Do you believe that this morning? So the Holy Spirit is living in you. Okay? Now, we are called to live by the Spirit. So living by the Spirit involves a daily surrender to God's will and a willingness to tune into His promptings. It's like, Lord, I have a plan today. I say this a lot. Lord, you can go look at my calendar. There's a lot of things on the calendar. But a lot of times my prayer is, Lord, I have a plan today, but if you want to change that plan, then please do. That's the way we should be living our lives. We should say, you know what? We're flesh. I get it. We like calendars. We have plans. But maybe our plans aren't exactly lined up to God's plan. And we want God's plan, right? We want God's plan in our lives. And so we have to listen. We have to listen to the Holy Spirit that's living in us to guide us and direct us, right? It's okay to have plans, church. It is. It's okay to have a calendar full of things. But if God wants to change that calendar, you might want to let Him do it. You see, because it's not your will, it's not my will, right? But God's will be done to accomplish what He wants to accomplish today. Now, I don't know about you, but I want my life to please God today. Romans 12, 1 and 2 says this, "Therefore I urge you, brothers and sisters, in view of God's mercy, to offer your bodies as living sacrifices, holy and pleasing to God. This is your spiritual act of worship. Do not conform any longer to the pattern of this world, but be transformed by the renewing of your mind." Only when your mind is renewed, it goes on to say, then you will be able to test and approve what God's will is, His good, pleasing, and perfect will. You see, church, God has He has good, pleasing, and perfect plans for His children. He does. He has good, pleasing, and perfect plans for each and every one of us. But He wants us to be transformed people with renewed minds. You know, I mean, there's a lot of me, there's a lot of the old me that keeps rearing its ugly head a lot in my life. That's not where God wants me to live. He wants me to live as a transformed Christian, right? Follower of Christ. A transformed man with a new life, wanting His plan. But it takes me being transformed for that to happen. I mean, God sent His Son to offer us a new life, right? He did. And once we have accepted the new life that He has offered us, He sends the Holy Spirit to live in us, to renew us, to re-educate us, to redirect our minds. That's why the Holy Spirit is in us. You want to please God with your life? You've got to surrender daily to the Holy Spirit who is living in you. You see, it is only when the Holy Spirit is welcomed into our lives to bring about this change that we are truly transformed. Now, on the other hand, when we live by the sinful nature, we rely on our own human effort, our natural, often self-centered inclinations, right? I mean, the sinful nature acts independently of God. And the sinful nature focuses on gratification of the ego or our physical appetites. So when someone who is living in sin and giving in to sinful desires because of the way they feel, they cannot say, well, God made me this way. They can't. I have a lot of conversations with a lot of people that say, well, God made me this way. No, God didn't make you this way. You were born into the sinful flesh that we are. But God's got a new way. He's got a new way, a new life that He offers to each and every one of us. You see, it's because of the fall of man into sin that has caused you to have these sinful feelings. We all got them. But I want you to know it's not from God. Okay? There is a difference in our focus and attitude as well. You see, living by the Spirit focuses outward and upward. It produces the fruit of the Spirit, which includes what? Love, joy, peace, patience, kindness, goodness, faithfulness, gentleness, and self-control. Now, living by the sinful nature focuses inward. The impulses are usually self-serving and characterized by behaviors like outbursts of anger, selfish ambition, division, envy, and discord. I hope what you're seeing here, I mean, you know, there's a way to know that you are living by the Spirit, and then there's this other way that says you are living by your flesh. Okay? One of them is more dominant than the other, I can guarantee. And some days it's one way, and some days it may be another. Those days that you do not daily surrender to the Holy Spirit living in your life, you're going to see that flesh, that selfish ambition become what you feed. It becomes hungry. Now, if you've never experienced living by the Spirit, I think you might want to check to make sure that you're truly saved. Because there's no way to live by the Holy Spirit if He's not in you. And if you are not saved, He isn't in you. But if you are saved, He is in you. Therefore, you should be experiencing that struggle, and you should be experiencing that living by the Spirit, right? But there are times when we live by the flesh. We do. We're flawed men and women, right? I mean, so again, the outcomes of these two ways of living, the living by the Spirit or living by the sinful nature, are very different. Okay? These are things that we should be reflecting on and looking at. Okay? Living by the Spirit leads to a life that honors God. Okay? It builds others up and it results in spiritual growth and inner peace in spite of what you may be feeling. We've all got those feelings, right? We all have those feelings that we want to do wrong. But if the Holy Spirit is living in you, your life should honor God. It should build others up. It should never tear another person down. It shouldn't happen in a Christian's life. Not in a husband's life, not in a wife's life. It shouldn't be happening. If you're tearing someone down close to you, I can tell you one thing. It's not of God. And it's not of the Holy Spirit. If you're not building each other up, that is flesh. That is the sinful nature that has taken the podium in your life. As though you think you need to have a voice. That it needs to be your way. No, it needs to be God's way. That's the only way it should be. And the only way it can be God's way is if you're allowing the Holy Spirit to lead your life. Because the reality is, if you're living by the sinful nature, it leads to destructive consequences, broken relationships, and feelings of emptiness as the soul is directed by corrupt cravings of the flesh rather than divine wisdom. Church, I share this with you because when we understand these two concepts of living, this can be an essential part of your spiritual growth. I mean, even though you have been saved, these two concepts of living is still very much a part of your everyday life. You understand? I mean, you're two people. Okay? You are spirit and you are flesh. Okay? Look, when you die, if you're a Christian, when you die, your body's not going with you. It's not. No, I'm going to be instantly with Jesus when I die spiritually. This old flesh I'm laying down. Because it can't be with me. It's corrupted. It's messed up. It wants to do the opposite of what God wants it to do. All the time. But again, even though you are a child of God, meaning that you have been saved, you still have a sinful nature. You understand that. You still want to, there's still something in you. You want to sin. You want to do what's wrong, right? I mean, it says, so I say, live by the Spirit and you will not gratify the desires of the sinful nature. For the sinful nature desires what is contrary to the Spirit, and the Spirit what is contrary to the sinful nature. They are in conflict with each other so that you do not do what you want. Now, again, the sinful nature is still with believers. Okay? The sooner we recognize this truth and we engage in the battle against our sinful nature and we recognize our need for the help of the Holy Spirit living in us to help enable us to overcome the sinful nature, right? I mean, look, recognizing the Holy Spirit's work in you begins with a conscious choice to surrender daily to the Holy Spirit's control in your life. It says, choose to live by the Spirit. Live by the Spirit to surrender to His control, and you will not. That's what God's Word says. That's the thing. You know what? We husbands, wives, they argue all the time. I mean, people are arguing all the time. Everywhere you go out in the world, people are just arguing. They're upset. Look, as far as it depends on me, I should live at peace. Get some music. Don't know the song, but hey. Hey, no, but seriously. Look, marriages should never fail. Christian marriages should never fail. They shouldn't. In all honesty, I get it. Look, when Christian marriages, when people are arguing with each other, it's because of the sinful nature. It's not because they're walking or living by the Holy Spirit. They're not, okay? No, they've got a selfish desire that they want it this way and they want it their way and all these things. What we got to do is we got to get to a place where we are surrendering to the Holy Spirit's control in our lives so that we can be the men and women that God is recreating us to be. It should be. Right? Which leads to my next thought this morning. The conflict within the believer. Paul describes the two forces conflicting within us, right? It's a conflict. It's constantly going. I mean, it's there. It's going to be there. I got to learn how to conquer it. But the reality is, I can't conquer it on my own. There's no way. And these two forces conflicting within us is the Holy Spirit and the sinful nature. Galatians 5:17. For the sinful nature desires what is contrary to the Spirit, and the Spirit what is contrary to the sinful nature. They are in conflict with each other, so that you do not do what you want. Now, we've identified that Christians have these two forces at work in their lives, but I think it is vitally important for us to understand that these two forces aren't just a part of us. They are in conflict with each other. Do you understand that? It's not just, well, you know what? Yeah, I know I'm flesh, and I know I've been born of the Spirit because I've been saved. It's not just enough to just say, yeah, I recognize there's two different lifestyles or two different ways of life in me. No, it's not. That's not enough, because we want to please God in our lives, right? We want to please God in our marriages. We want to please God out in the world. We want to please God in everything that we do. So what's got to happen is we've got to understand, we've got to identify that these two forces are in us, but they are in conflict with each other. Okay? Conflict. I mean, I remember the day of my salvation like it was yesterday. I mean, I truly do. Nothing was really right in my life, and I was very much about myself. And I know I said it before, but I'm so thankful that I had a brother in the faith that was walking with me during the radical conversion of my life. Because once again, if someone would not have told me that I was still going to be fighting my sinful desires years later, I would have been devastated, right? I mean, people, they get devastated. I mean, catch this. Immediately after conversion, new Christians enjoy several days, maybe weeks, of wonderful victory, don't they? I did. People didn't want to be in my path when I was saved, right when I got saved. I mean, it was like, man, I am so pumped up of what Jesus has done in my life, what He is doing in my life, and I'm in victory. There ain't nothing stopping me. Nothing stopping me. And we say, thank you, Jesus. Praise you, Jesus. I'm walking on sunshine, S-O-N-S-H-I-N-E. And you think, I got this. I got this. I am on top of the world, baby. But then temptation and defeat come, right? Temptation and defeat come, and the newly converted Christian gets what? Discouraged. Gets discouraged. Somebody should have told them that the old nature would rise up again. It's going to come back. You can kill him one day, and if you don't kill him the next day, and the next day, and the next day, I'm going to tell you right now, he's going to rise up again. He's going to rise up again, and he's going to show up in your kitchens and in your bedrooms. He's going to show up in all areas of your life. He's going to try to tear everything down that God is building up. I mean, get it. I get it. In all honesty, the old sinful nature is always, church, is always looking for a chance to rise up and take over your life once again. All you got to do is start feeding it. All you got to do is start giving it attention. You know what? You just grieve the Holy Spirit. Grieve the Holy Spirit and just take care of that flesh you got. And you just wait where it takes you. All you have to do, church, is let your guard down for but a moment. The sinful nature desires what is contrary to the Spirit. And the Spirit, what is contrary to the sinful nature. But here is what I feel we need to hear this morning. We want to live in victory, right? You want to live in victory, right? Every day. I want to be in victory every day. Until the day I breathe my last, I want to be in victory. And I believe that's why we're here this morning. The last part of verse 17 says, they are in conflict with each other so that you do not do what you want. You see, this part of verse 17 doesn't teach that a believer cannot get victory. That's not what that says. I'm stuck between the Holy Spirit and my flesh. I'm just kind of waiting to die. No. Here is what I believe God's Word is warning us about here. Just my mere determination will never control the flesh. Meaning, I cannot control my flesh on my own. And many of you, myself included, have tried to do that. You said, you know what? I'm not gonna give in to that thing that I've done. I'm not gonna do it. But you get up, and the next thing you know, you're giving in to it, right? Because you're not surrendering to the Holy Spirit living in you to help you overcome the thing. Right? You treat your wives a certain way, and you go, golly, I can't tell you how many times. Can't tell you how many times. I would treat my wife a certain way, and I'd get up in the morning, and I'd say, you know what? I'll never do that again. I'll never treat you like that again. I would never tear you down like that again, only to do it again. It wasn't until I realized that I can't accomplish this on my own that I ask that daily I surrender to the Holy Spirit and say, help me love my wife the way she needs to be loved. In spite of what my needs are, or what I think my needs are, or what my selfish ambitions are, because they're there. They're there. You know, there's a certain thing that we want in life. Those are selfish ambitions. We've all got them. It's not until we go, you know what, not my ambitions. No, God, I want your will today. I want you. I want to live in you. I want to walk with you. Holy Spirit, I surrender my life today to you. And watch how you treat the people closest to you. I've said it so many times. I've said it in so many places, and there should never, ever be a Christian that tears down anyone. Not your spouse, not your kids, not your enemies. God says we're supposed to love our enemies. Sometimes we treat our enemies better than we treat the people that are right inside the four walls living with us. Sad. Very sad, but you know what? You got to call it for what it is. It's selfish ambition. If things don't go your way, then it won't go her way. Right? That's selfish ambition. No, we got to live by the Spirit, church. I cannot control my flesh on my own. The battle is way too great. Likewise, I cannot just say I'm going to work on these fruit of the Spirit in my life. Romans 7:14 through 25 says this. We know that the law is spiritual, but I am unspiritual, sold as a slave to sin. I do not understand what I do, for what I want to do, I do not do. But what I hate, I do. And if I do what I do not want to do, I agree that the law is good. As it is no longer I myself who do it, but it is sin living in me. I know that nothing good lives in me, that is, in my sinful nature, for I have the desire to do what is good, the Holy Spirit living in you, right? But I cannot carry it out on my own. For what I do is not the good I want to do. No, the evil I do not want to do, this I keep on doing. Now, if I do what I do not want to do, it is no longer I who do it, but it is sin living in me that does it. So I find this law at work. When I want to do good, evil is right there with me. For in my inner being, I delight in God's law. But I see another law at work in the members of my body, waging war against the law of my mind and making me a prisoner of the law of sin at work within my members. What a wretched man I am! Who will rescue me from this body of death? Thanks be to God through Jesus Christ our Lord. So then, I myself in my mind am a slave to God's law, but in the sinful nature, a slave to the law of sin. You see, church, no matter how determined we want to be, we may be to please God. No matter how determined we are, today I'm going to please God. Today I'm going to please Him with my marriage, with my life, and everywhere I go, I'm going to please God. But church, I'm here to tell you, no matter how determined you may be to please God, if you are trying to accomplish this in your own strength, you are destined to fall. You are destined to fail. Church, the battle is real, and I'm here to tell you that every believer is in the middle of this war within. But there's good news. There's good news. The next thing I want you to write down, the believer has the power of the Holy Spirit. Galatians 5:22 through 23. But the fruit of the Spirit is love, joy, peace, patience, kindness, goodness, faithfulness, gentleness, and self-control. Against such things there is no law. Church, I need you to hear me on this. There is a huge difference between a person's works and a person's fruit. I think this has been getting really muddied in today's world. Okay? And here's what I mean by that. And here's what I believe we need to understand and we need to know. Fruit is the result of a living union with the Holy Spirit. Okay? Fruit is the result of a living union with the Holy Spirit. The only way you can have fruit, lasting fruit in your life, is to have the Holy Spirit living in you. Now, and we know that the only way that you can have the Holy Spirit living in you is if you have become a Christian. Okay. Now, when it comes to works, works is not necessarily the result of the Holy Spirit. Not necessarily. But fruit is a direct result of the Holy Spirit. Catch this. A machine may produce works, right? But it can never produce fruit. Even the law produces works, but God calls them dead works. Hebrews 6:1. Therefore, let us leave the elementary teachings about Christ and go on to maturity, not laying again the foundation of repentance from acts that lead to death and of faith in God. You see, church, the law moves us to salvation in Jesus Christ because we cannot keep God's law. But once we come to God through faith in Jesus Christ, works is no longer a requirement. For salvation, that is. There is an expectation of works in the life of a believer, right? There is. Actually, the Bible is quite clear that we cannot be saved by works. Ephesians 2:8 and 9. For it is by grace you have been saved, through faith, and this not from yourselves. It is the gift from God, not by works, so that no one can boast. Now, what I want you to see here is this. Works is not a direct result of the Holy Spirit living in a person. There's a lot of people out in our world that aren't saved doing works. They are. So you can't go, man, look how good, look at him. Look at him over there feeding the homeless. Look at him giving that homeless guy a cheeseburger. He must be saved. No, it doesn't work that way. No, there's a lot of people giving the homeless guy a cheeseburger that don't know Jesus, that has this moral compassion. They got a heart, right? That says, you know what? Maybe I should give him $1.50 cheeseburger today. And maybe it's $5. I don't know. Here's the thing. Works, though good, is not a direct result of the Holy Spirit living in a person. Titus 1:16 says this, they claim to know God, but by their actions they deny him. They are detestable, disobedient, and unfit for doing anything good. Church, again, there are a lot of people out in the world that are doing good works, and many of them claim to know God. So how can we know whether someone is of God or not? That's a great question, right? How do we know if a person is of God or not? Well, it's right here. What sets the Christian apart from the rest of the world is fruit. It's fruit. It's not works. It's fruit, right? Let me read to you. Matthew 7:15-20. I know I'm going a little bit long here, but we're gonna finish this up because we got a beach service next week, God. Yeah, there we go. 15-20. Watch out for false prophets. They come to you in sheep's clothing, but inwardly they are ferocious wolves. By their fruit, what, right? This is what God's word says. By their fruit, you will recognize them. Do people pick grapes from thorn bushes or figs from thistles? Likewise, every good tree bears what? Good fruit. But a bad tree bears what? Bad fruit. A good tree cannot bear bad fruit. Catch this. Catch this. A good tree cannot bear bad fruit, and a bad tree cannot bear good fruit. Every tree that does not bear good fruit is cut down and thrown into the fire. Thus, by their fruit, you will recognize them. Nowhere in God's word does it say specifically, by their works you will recognize them. That's not it. Doesn't mean that works aren't good, but what is the motivation behind the work? What's the motivation behind the work? Is it fruit? Is it the love, joy, peace, patience, kindness, gentleness, goodness, faithfulness, self-control? Or is it, hey, you know what? I got to give that guy a cheeseburger so God might smile down on me today. Church, I don't want my wife to be really upset with me, so. The Bible never said that you will know who they are by their works. The Bible clearly says that you will know who they are by what? Their fruit. Look, a Christian cannot hate their brothers and say they're of God. That's not fruit. A good tree, meaning a Christian, cannot bear bad fruit. A bad tree cannot bear good fruit. Again, just so I'm clear this morning, and I'll close with this. Both Christians and non-Christians do works, do good works. And both Christians and non-Christians do bad works. When I decide to live my way, you're probably going to see some selfish works. Trust me, I don't stand before you and claim to be perfect. I'm far from it. Okay? But if you're looking for a perfect pastor, you can go listen to the liar somewhere else. When I decide to live my way, selfish works. And those selfish works can certainly appear that I may not have good fruit. until I repent. The key is until I repent and get restored back to the vine. Amen? You see, I still have this tendency to want to do wrong. But there is someone living inside of me that calls me to repentance. The Holy Spirit. I'm not perfect, but I am saved. You're not perfect. And if you're saved, let me tell you something. Even when you do bad, there's a Holy Spirit inside of you that's calling you to do good, to repent, and to be restored. So, how about I just leave it there? Because if not, I won't be here next week because I'll be dead. And we love our teachers downstairs. We love those kids. And trust me, on this topic, I could preach all day. But church, maybe today the thing that we need to recognize about the Holy Spirit is living in us. He wants us to surrender to Him. He wants us to live by the Spirit, right? God wants us to live by the Spirit. He wants us to walk by the Spirit. And when we walk in the sinful nature, thank God that He calls us into repentance and restoration, right? Thank God. But again, this is a reflection point. Is there good fruit in your life? There has to be good fruit in your life. Love, even though somebody doesn't need to be loved, doesn't deserve to be loved, maybe, in our eyes. Love, joy, peace, patience, kindness, goodness, faithfulness, gentleness, self-control. Let's pray. Father, we come before you and thank you for saving me. I thank you for the salvation of my brothers and sisters. And God, as we continue to learn about you and to learn to live a life of surrender, God, thank you for being patient with us. Thank you for not destroying us when we probably deserve to be destroyed. Thank you for loving us as we navigate through this season of surrendering our lives to you. God, thank you for never giving up on us. Thank you for the gift of this day. I pray now that you go before us. God, keep our paths straight. Help us to surrender to the Holy Spirit living in us each and every day. And God, maybe, just maybe, we can glorify you with our lives this week. God, be with us, watch over us, and go before us in Jesus' name. Amen. Would you stand? I got about another